of Okinawans. Her answer? It's better to be happy all the time. One thing that touched me the most during my time in Okinawa was the repetition of this idea. I heard such deep stories about war, tragedy, and outcomes that weren't fair. But no matter what these elders shared with me, they said they chose to be happy. Our mindset is a choice, they explained. Instead of ruminating on what hasn't gone well for them, they instead choose to be happy. A few months after I interviewed the Inafuku family, Maria and I reconnected, and she expressed her gratitude for the interviews with her grandparents. She was sad to share that her grandpa, Nobu Inafuku, had suddenly passed away. But because of our conversations, she had been able to learn more about her family history. I am so grateful to have met Nobu and Yoshiko, and will always honor their stories. Learn to be one with nature. Shizen. Nature is available to everyone. No matter what part of the world you're in, nature is accessible and free. Spending time in the natural world heals us. Many of us are stuck inside at our jobs all day, but we can find small ways to incorporate more time spent outdoors. Take the long walk home from the bus or train stop. Plan a weekend hike with friends. Plan a trip to go camping at the beach. Or visit a national park on your next vacation. If you're short on space or access to the outdoors, incorporating more nature can be as easy as planting an herb garden outside your window. Space is tight for me in New York City, but I've managed to schedule in bike rides, runs, and long walks along the water. I've also packed my place with plants and fresh flowers from the local market. Whenever I can, I'll try to meet a friend in the park and gaze up at the trees all day. Sometimes, I'll save up for a trip to San Francisco or back home to San Diego. Spending time in nature is part of my self-care routine, and it feels really good. Whether it means a simple meditation, sitting in a patch of sunshine in your apartment, or picking up some fresh-cut flowers at the farmer's market. Find a moment to engage with the natural world each day. You can even visit your local community garden to help others while simultaneously helping yourself. The Okinawans prize the soil on which they live. Similarly, we should honor the gifts our earth has given us. Learn to cook. Ryori. What's one main reason why so many Okinawans live so long? They grow, cook, and eat real food. The vast majority of Okinawans still make every meal from scratch, each and every day. From a practical standpoint, Okinawans have traditionally grown all their own food because importing food to an island isn't easy. World War II also created a serious food shortage, and meat became unavailable. The resulting plant-based diet may be what has solidified the Okinawans' place among the world's longest-living people. My friend Yoshiko, at age 88, tells me her secret to aging well is emo, otherwise known as the sweet potato. Some of my favorite recipes for the magical sweet potato can be found in the PDF enhancement. When you grow and cook your own food, you are taking a major step in caring for yourself. You will be able to see and feel the difference. And when you feel good, your whole life starts to improve. Every day is a good day. Hibikore koujitsu. I asked my friend Hiromi, who has lived in Okinawa for over 25 years, what is it that keeps the women of Okinawa so vibrant and alive? She didn't have to hesitate with her answer. They work. Okinawan women have a lot to do. From the time they are very young, they get married, begin to take care of the farm, the family, and the community. But no matter how much there is to do or how much they have to think about, they never seem to get overwhelmed. They focus on the positive, keep their eyes on the task at hand, and get things done. Sound familiar? There's a Japanese phrase for this. Kodawaranai, which translates to, don't get so caught up in it. The simple meaning? Don't sweat the small stuff. Practice peace. take care of what matters. I've been a writer for over 10 years, and most of the hours of my day are spent working. As a small business owner, I love working for myself in PJs. But I am responsible for paying my bills and paying my team. It's a balance. There's loads of administrative stuff to take care of, and sometimes I'd rather gag than do it. But it's my responsibility as a boss. There are also a lot of financial struggles that come along with the terrain. But when our work is meaningful to us, and when we bring our best selves to our jobs, every day is a good day. Be active. Akuchibu. Okinawans are dedicated to movement well into their 80s and 90s. Each day I spent in Okinawa, I would get up at 5 or 6 a.m. to run, and would be amazed to see the local Okinawans out farming in the early mornings, in 85-degree heat. They were moving their bodies, farming their crops, making pottery, singing, dancing, all of it. In the afternoons, I watched them walk to the farmer's market to shop for fresh food. I even saw them walking to a local community festival late into the night. It is their belief that you must physically move your body every 20 minutes or so to push aging away. Unlike in the West, where we often equate physical activity with going to the gym, we can all learn from the ways Okinawans incorporate movement into their daily routines. One of my favorite things is how many elders ride their bikes around town. It's very common and always makes me smile. Try to incorporate this practice into your life in organic ways, whether it's walking more each day, parking your car farther away from the store, or taking your dog on a longer than usual walk. Don't worry. Nankurenaisa. The Okinawans appreciate the value of a strong mind. I've been practicing meditation for 8 years now, and with each session, it becomes a little bit easier. I like to follow a guided meditation created by Deepak Chopra. Yes, some mornings I'm too committed to deadlines to meditate. But on these days, I make a promise to myself to save 10 to 30 minutes of my day to do something for me. Meditation is proven to lower stress levels. It helps to calm the mind and body. It alleviates anxiety and nervousness. And it helps to clear out the mental noise. Meditation also may help to slow the aging process. Best of all, anyone can do it. It's free, and it's simple to learn. 6. Ganbatte. Always do your best. Someone once told me that hard work does not go unnoticed. I like to keep this in mind as I practice ganbatte. Always doing my best. Early in my career, I did a lot of comparing myself to others. Like many young people, I couldn't help but feel like everyone else was enjoying the ultimate success, and I didn't understand why my time wasn't revealing itself. In my 20s, I expected success to happen in an instant. One example sticks out in my mind. At the time, I was 25. Young and hungry. I had the honor of working with one of the most talented book editors in the industry. Still, I was caught up in comparisons. I'll never forget the analogy she used with me about success, as I struggled, and dude, did I struggle, with finding peace in my heart regarding all I didn't yet have. As I sat at her desk side, she looked me in the eyes and said, "Candace, you have to think about success as a pan of pork chops. When you have one pork chop in the pan, it gets all dried up. But when you cook a few pork chops in the pan together, they begin to keep each other moist and happy, and they come out perfect. There's enough room in the pan for everyone's success." I've never forgotten how hearing this made me feel. It took me another decade of hard work, long hours, and many unpaid jobs to learn to be a better writer, manage my small business, and eventually be a better boss. But it is a continuous process, and I work on improving myself every day. Eventually, I learned to make peace with my own pace, my own trajectory. I didn't need to be at the top, but it was steadily building. With time, age, experience, and hard work came opportunity. I was raised to always do my best, and my dad is a remarkable example of gambate. He came to the U.S. on a boat from Poland when he was 12 years old. He learned English quickly, though it didn't come easily, and worked hard. Dad and his siblings made the very best of the opportunities they were given in the U.S. My dad proudly served in the Navy as an electrician, and my uncle John proudly served as a master sergeant in the Air Force. When I was growing up, my dad worked as a nuclear auditor, where he was responsible for overseeing and securing a nuclear power plant all day and night. In his career, it was incredibly necessary for him to be precise and accurate. Mom was much the same in her own ways. The house was always spotless and in order. She threw the best birthday parties. She baked each of our cakes from scratch, cooked every meal from scratch every day, in addition to her work as a school teacher. She always did her best. I would expect nothing less from her. Anyone close to me will also tell you that my mother is my everything. Her words and her essence are my heart's anthem. I think of her on my toughest days. I thought of her in the kitchen when I was working on the line getting my arms burnt with tongs and coming home smelling like tempura. I kept her in the back of my mind when I got yelled at by my chef in the back alley beside the dumpsters. I thought of her while writing at my desk in Brooklyn, barely making rent. I thought of her while I was working until 2 a.m., researching, fact-checking, editing photos, layouts, recipes, and manuscripts. I thought of Mom before walking on sets in my heels, hair, and makeup done just so. I challenged myself to be impeccable with my reputation. After all, my mom was on the other side of the tube watching. And what would she think? I wanted to make her proud by doing my very best. Embrace the struggle. While Kintsugi teaches us that there is beauty in the struggle, gambate says there is also beauty in the effort. Yes, the term gambate means that you must always give your best, but it also means that if you always do your best, that is good enough. You needn't be too hard on yourself or to expect perfection. You don't have to be the best. You just have to do your best. To me, gambate is about always doing your best, but never seeing a ceiling to your capacity to do great work. I like to think of Martha Stewart as an example of this. I highly doubt she's ever found herself sitting at home saying, "Great job, Martha. You are now done. Congratulations." In our everyday lives, how can we incorporate gambate? Here are a few ideas. Prepare. Preparation is huge. If you prepare a tremendous amount for whatever is coming up, you'll be able to do your best. While preparation is specific to your situation, there are some things you should always do. Make sure to get plenty of rest. If that means no drinking caffeine that day, or putting your devices away and cutting the lights out early, do it. Condition your mind to stay calm throughout preparation, as it will help you to focus. You don't have to say yes to everything. When times are busy, don't overcommit. Before an important time or event, nourish yourself properly. Drink plenty of water and eat fresh foods. Staying away from alcohol is also a smart choice. When you feel your best, you do better work. It is a Japanese custom to bring a gift to meetings. Part of my practice is to prepare a gift whenever I have a meeting. It can be something small, like homemade cookies, chocolate treats, or matcha tea. This small gesture goes a long way into letting people know that you think they are genuinely special and your relationship with them is important. The other side of preparation is research. Growing up, I remember always watching my mother prepare her lesson plans. Although she has taught a similar Japanese language curriculum each year for over 30 years, she still always prepares. The day before each class, she thinks about the next lesson, reviews the material, and studies. As a little girl, I'd hide behind her desk and watch her with glittering eyes. She still doesn't know that I watched her. Take a page from my mom and study up. If you're going to a job interview, research everything you can about the company and the people you'll be meeting with. Trust me, people love hearing that you researched up on them. It can only do you good. Last but not least, practice. If you're giving a speech or a presentation, practice, practice, practice. My dad is not naturally comfortable with public speaking, but I remember watching him practice giving speeches in our living room when I was a kid. Good preparation makes you fearless. You'll feel comfortable with the material before you step into the ring and will feel like you're up for anything. Give it your all. Time is limited. This is your one life, and some opportunities only come around once. Prepare for that job interview, that lunch date, that presentation, and then bring your absolute best self. If you want to truly achieve in your career, if you want to play at the top, you're going to have to give it your best. You get what you give. Be on time. Being punctual is polite, and it's also a favor you do for yourself. If you're rushing to make it to that important event on time, it's going to add stress and panic at a moment when what you really need is to be getting into your element. Being on time is often about planning ahead. Give yourself more time than you think you need to account for unforeseen circumstances, like traffic jams and train delays. Be yourself. Come as you are. Your strengths and talents make you different from other people. Growing up, my sister was an amazing dancer, but I could kick a ball. I was good at all of the tomboy things. She was great at all the arty things. And later in life, we almost traded places. Jen is now a bike mechanic / writer, and I am a chef and a writer. Everyone's gifts are very different, so your best will look different than other people's best. The way to ensure it is really your best is to keep it true to you. Wish others the best. Like so many things in life, Gambatte is also a reciprocal practice. When someone is about to go up for a big exam, speaking event, job interview, meeting, wedding, really anything, wish them the best of luck and mean it. When you genuinely start to support the success of others, it will come back to you. At this point in my life, I believe in the reciprocal power of Gambatte more than ever. That means putting your energy into supporting others, wishing them true success, and showing up for them, being full of light and love and sincere happiness. Life is not a competition. There is enough room for everyone at the top, and no one can make it there without the honest support of others. But most of all, you must be true to your work and wishes and mean what you say. Practice what you believe and send sincere love, light, and energy their way with a whole, honest heart. Gambatte ne! Be honest. My mother told me, always be honest. It will keep you out of a lot of trouble. In Japanese culture, children are raised to believe that if they are honest, they will be greatly rewarded. In Japanese folktales, an abundance of food and gold is given to characters that always do the right thing. My parents were always honest with Jenny and me, and with each other. Honesty means embracing the truth with everyone, yourself and others. Honesty shows you are real. You are doing your best. And you're true to your core beliefs. Honesty allows people to trust you, and it inspires them to share their truth too. If you want to be trusted, be honest. Honesty is a trait that I have observed in each of the people I admire most. Brené Brown, Marie Kondo, Oprah Winfrey, Marianne Williamson, Melody Beattie, and Don Miguel Ruiz. Their work is what inspires me to come out of my shell and share my story. Honesty is apparent. It shows in your golden cracks. Each one is a symbol of bravery, and you should be proud to show it and to share it with others. Olympic athletes are a great example of gambate in action. They devote their entire lives to playing their best game. They prepare, they practice, they take good care of themselves to ensure their performance is the very best it can be. And then they embrace their one shot and bring their all. That's real gambate. When we watch them, we feel inspired and naturally wish them our best. Use them as a guiding example of people who incorporate this practice into every part of their lives. Elite athletes show us how great they are. They do not need to tell us. Gambate also means giving your best in your personal and private practices, not just in times where everyone is watching you. Gambate when you are writing an email. Gambate when you are cooking dinner. Gambate when you are at home with your family. Take the lead from Japanese parents and do your best when you are setting an example for your children each day. Do your best when the world is watching, then do your best when nobody is watching. Awards and prizes can feel good, and it's nice to be recognized for significant achievement. But outside approval is by no means a measurement of, or a testament to, who you are. The true reward is feeling like you are making a difference in the world around you. If you begin to practice gambate in your life, you will not only feel better, but will provide inspiration for others. Your efforts will reap rewards, and you will feel closer to your life's purpose. When you do your best from a place of love and sincerity, the whole world benefits. Kaizen, continuously improving to the next level. While gambate can inspire you to bring your very best, the concept of kaizen encourages you to continuously improve. Kaizen says that while you may try your best, you will never reach your full potential. No matter how hard you try, you will always be improving yourself, improving your work, and improving the conditions of your life. Rather than being defeated by this, it means you can always strive to be better. All of us are constantly learning, growing, and improving as we go along. In Japan, Kaizen is used predominantly in the business world, though the idea is something you are taught from the time you are a young child. As my father says, never be satisfied. Only then will you be able to reach ever higher. 7. 仕方がない. It cannot be helped. 仕方がない, also known as しょうがない, derived from the formal saying 仕方がない. Don't keep complaining. Move on from it. One of the many reasons my Okinawan friend Hiromi-san says Okinawan women live so long, a little concept known as 仕方がない, which means it cannot be helped. While I was in Okinawa, Hiromi-san explained to me that Japanese women don't care so much about the small things because they have too many things to do. At its essence, 仕方がない, or しょうがない, really means letting go. It means accepting what you cannot change and doing your best to let it roll off your back. It encourages you to take a step back from the drama in your life and remind yourself, this won't matter in 5 years, or 5 months, or in some cases, even 5 weeks. So I'm not going to give it more than 5 minutes. And then wash your hands of it. The trees in autumn are a good example of shikataganai in nature. The seasons are changing. It cannot be helped. As the leaves fall, the trees show us an example of letting go. Taking a page from Okinawan women, when you encounter something that cannot be changed, like a disagreement with a stubborn person, or even inclement weather, don't dwell on it. Shoganai, let it go. It cannot be helped. What you can change is the power and direction of your whole life, just by changing your mindset. Take a deep breath. Ease up. Let it go. When you have an argument or a falling out with a friend, where no matter how hard you try, you just can't see eye to eye, it can be a relief to just let it go. Some things cannot be helped. It might take the form of a job you didn't get, a date that didn't go well, or a canceled flight. You aren't going to be able to change certain circumstances, and you aren't going to be able to change the way some people feel. When you find yourself confronted with a situation that can't be helped, it can be tempting to torture yourself, wondering what went wrong, blaming yourself, or else trying to fix something or make something work. Dwelling or ruminating on the past prevents healing and dims your light. This kind of self-torture is a dishonorable and disrespectful thing to do to yourself. More often than not, when something cannot be helped, it is a sign that it was truly not meant to be. It doesn't matter. Shikataganai. If you're currently in that place, it might be time to do the harder thing by walking away. When you let go of something not meant for you, you will find relief. You will feel peace. You may not find it instantaneously. Sometimes, you do see the value by just stepping away. And sometimes, it takes longer to gain perspective. When you're in the midst of a tough situation, it can feel like you're in the middle of the forest, and all you can see are the trees. Or like you're in the middle of the city, and all you can see are buildings. But by walking away, you're taking yourself out of the situation and putting yourself in a new setting. Before you know it, you'll have a new vantage point and will be able to see the entire landscape. Shikataganai. Let it go. Family matters. For decades, I watched my mother handle difficult times with such grace, honor, and dignity. She never complained about anything. I can only imagine how hard it was for her to raise 2 American girls as a Japanese immigrant. But my mom did it. She took pride in being a mom and would give Jenny and me extra schoolwork if there was a subject where we needed improvement. She always stayed true to what she believed in and loyal to her ancestry. That meant remaining calm, truthful, and patient. She continued to show me how to be strong, how to study, how to work with integrity, how to be punctual, how to be the best you can possibly be. She rarely spoke ill of others and did not gossip, even when things weren't going her way. And she always maintained her sense of humor. My mom is by far the funniest person in our family. She just doesn't know it. Of course, we weren't perfect. Like any family, we had fights, struggles, and family meetings. I was a bad teenager who hung out with the wrong kids and argued with the other members of my family. They'd probably tell you that's an understatement. I'm sorry, Mom and Dad. I will make it up to you. My parents didn't always know how to handle my insubordination. Over the years, my family and I have communicated and miscommunicated. But sometimes we found the best answer was simply shogunai, just letting something go. Ultimately, I'm grateful for the struggles and setbacks we shared together, as they have made us all into who we are today. Without these times of turmoil and change, the ups and downs, we would not be able to learn and grow or enrich our lives. The struggles will become your story. And that's the beauty of kintsugi. your cracks can become the most beautiful part of you. Roll with the punches. Shikata Ganai is all about rolling with the punches, allowing your sails to go in the direction of the wind. If you open your arms, your mind, your dreams, your sails to the wind, and you work in sync with all that life brings you, you will find that all things just get a little easier. It's not always the strongest and smartest who go the furthest. It is often those who can adapt. Adaptation is a Japanese art. The next time you are going through a not-so-great situation, I urge you to remember the Japanese way. Stay calm. Stay resilient. Breathe. And adapt to the course. After the 2016 election, my sister and I were devastated. My dad wrote a very thoughtful letter to us in which he said not to sweat the small stuff. He told us that a politician did not need to infiltrate our everyday lives. He said that others will be president, including a woman, and that we can continue to do good things for others and to enjoy ourselves. My dad is not a man of many words, so when he speaks, you really listen. His words of Shikata Ganai meant a lot to me. When something external goes wrong, remember, don't take anything personally. It's a pretty safe bet that it's not about you. Practicing Shikata Ganai can take many forms in your daily life. Walking is one of the main reasons the Japanese maintain their cool and live such long lives. So the next time you're struggling, walk it off. For me, a very peaceful and simple meditation each morning has allowed me to be a calmer, more resilient, and chill person. Meditation helps me to nip anxiety in the bud. Practicing yoga with like-minded friends has strengthened my spirit and made me a more peaceful person. Find your personal practice that helps you stay calm and centered. Also, self-knowledge is power. The next time you're put in a high-stress situation, observe your behavior. Do you react right away? Do you reach for something healthy or unhealthy? Picking up a glass of wine, a beer, or a cocktail is easy. If we can do the harder thing and learn to better discipline ourselves by working on our mental focus, clarity, and bodily health in times of distress, imagine how much stronger, both mentally and physically, we would become. Here are some more ways you can practice Shikata Ganai. Meditate. As I mentioned, my morning meditation practice does wonders for curbing my anxiety and helping me to be more open and accepting of what I cannot help. To begin, you can meditate by sitting quietly in your home or in nature. You can find a meditation center or a group meditation practice. You can also try a guided recording or a meditation app like Headspace. Breathe deeply. Deep breathing, especially through the nose, can help you feel grounded and take you back to reality. As you breathe deeply, scan your body and notice whether you are holding on to any tension. Are you clenching your jaw or furrowing your eyebrows? Deep breathing has been shown to have an immediate effect on blood pH, which slows your blood pressure and calms your entire body. Plus, when you make it a regular practice, deep breathing benefits the mind, heart, digestion, and immune system. Immerse yourself. Whether it's your work, reading a good book, a hobby, traveling, or an interest that makes you feel better, choose to immerse yourself in something productive instead of dwelling or ruminating on negative thoughts. Fresh ideas, new content, and work you care about will help carry your mind to a better place. Pick yourself up. I like to get fresh flowers for myself, whether at the grocery store or the corner market. It really brightens up my space and makes me happy. Whether it's a fresh bouquet or something else, a candle, a favorite treat, a warm bath, give yourself the things you need to feel good. Tune in. Sound can be an incredible mood booster. Each day, I listen to music that makes me feel good or try a podcast that makes me feel inspired and helps me learn new things. There are so many options out there, on every topic imaginable. Always be learning. Stay curious. Read things. Talk to people. Take classes. The more you know, the more empowered and aware you become. Stop comparing. Comparing your life to the lives of others is always a self-defeating practice. The only person you should ever compare yourself to is you. If you find yourself playing the comparison game, look away from the news or social media and engage more in real life. Take some alone time. Make a note of all the things you love and the things you do well. Grant yourself that serenity. Tend to your own garden. This means get in touch with your place in the natural world and care for yourself as you would a seedling. Nourish, hydrate, get sun. If you're busy with life's demands, this doesn't have to mean you take a whole day or night in your PJs. But do find a pocket of me time. Prioritize yourself as number one. Healing objects. It helps to have some symbolic reminders to stay the course. I love my healing stones and crystals, especially my rose quartz, to help bring love into my life. Crystals are very accessible, and having them around makes me feel better. I also like my mala beads, a traditional meditation necklace with 108 beads, which I use to help myself feel grounded while I was going through a difficult time. You can use them as a tool during meditation, but I would hold them before bed, and they would make me feel better. Maybe crystals aren't your thing, and that's okay. Find something, a quote, an image, a symbolic item from your family, that resonates with you. Change your perspective. Getting a change of scenery can do wonders for taking yourself out of an unfixable situation and seeing it from a new perspective. This doesn't have to mean a trip or a vacation, although it could. You can get a new perspective by walking to a part of town you don't normally go to, driving a different route, visiting someone you haven't seen in a while, or watching a documentary. Go hiking, forest bathing. While we're on the topic of taking in the scenery, spending time in nature is a fresh way to practice shikataganai. In Japan, the practice of walking slowly through the woods, taking time to contemplate, is known as forest bathing. Shinrin yoku, breathing fresh oxygen into your body, inhaling the natural oils released from the trees, and being able to touch, smell, and see something outside of your situation will help to open up a lot of channels that may have been closed off to you. It will open your mind to looking at things from a different vantage point. Take yourself out of your element. Hang with supportive friends. Everybody needs friends who uplift them. Assess who makes you feel good and look to those people for support when you're grappling with a situation that cannot be helped. Remember, shikataganai is not an easy practice, and it's something that you will need to work on continuously. After all, you cannot ask the universe to stop giving you problems. Everyone has them. But you can learn how to roll with the punches. And if you do the work, then over time, I promise, it will feel easier. Part 4. Heart.
Kokoro.
8.
Yuimaru.
Inner circle of people. The Okinawan culture uses the term yuimaru, which translates to the circle of the people. Yuimaru is a concept that celebrates the value of togetherness. It teaches us that our social networks, particularly our inner circle of close friends, heal us and help strengthen and nourish our entire community. Yuimaru was another lesson I witnessed firsthand. Okinawa is a diverse, multicultural island, including many people from Japan and the United States. In such a mixed population, the concept of yuimaru feels very present. Everywhere I went, there was a feeling of unity, compassion, and sincerity. I observed how my Okinawan friends supported their local restaurants, pottery shops, musical performances, and community dancing events. There is a strong embrace of the local community. In my own life, I've always felt it's better to have close friends, family, and a community you can grow strong and loyal with than to have a ton of casual friends or acquaintances. In life, we will inevitably go through tough times. It's important to be mindful that we all need to rely on one another in order to survive. Sharing our successes amplifies them. Sharing our struggles makes them easier to endure. You're not going to be able to make it alone. That's why we are all here on this big, crazy planet together. Whatever it is you are trying to accomplish, it helps to lean on your Uimaru. It will take your tribe, your posse, your squad, your team. You may stumble. In fact, you may fall right on your face, as I have many times. And that's okay. Supported by your inner circle, you will be able to get up gracefully and with resilience and back on your two feet. Being vulnerable. Everyone is vulnerable, whether they want to admit it or not. Vulnerability is not a sign of weakness. Being vulnerable is actually a sign of strength. As we learn throughout our times of trauma and pain, our struggles and setbacks, vulnerability can be difficult, but ultimately, we will be okay. Ironically, I've discovered that the ability to be present and vulnerable with others begins with being alone. I need my alone time to recharge. When I spend time alone, I become more comfortable with myself, so that when I am with others, I'm more able to be open. When I traveled to Japan on my own 6 years ago, I had a tremendous amount of healing to do, and I wanted to take the time to focus on self-care so I could heal properly. It was tough to be so open with my emotions, but I realized that being vulnerable is also an immense opportunity to learn valuable lessons and to get clear on the things that you want and need out of life. I spent that year surrounding myself with a community of only the most supportive and engaged people, and I noticed a shift begin to happen in my life. I actually liked who I was. I found my work more meaningful, and I wanted to focus on making a deep impact on the lives of others. I learned to love myself and take care of myself the way I would a best friend. Perhaps that was the biggest shift of all. When I was alone, I was surprised to find that I could treat myself as if I were my own best friend. Traveling alone gave me the ability to be present. It was a remarkable and unexpected shift. After this realization, I was able to be a better friend because I was truly present when I was with the people I loved. I began to speak with an open heart. I didn't hesitate to share my needs and my vulnerability. The real work behind vulnerability, however, happens when you are open to being vulnerable with others. When I became more vulnerable, I took my mask off and let everyone in on my secrets. I became transparent and finally had the guts to share my story, to live in each moment, and to own it as if it were my last time to share. Vulnerability is about being brave. It means being open and honest, and not afraid of judgment, rejection, or pain. When we are vulnerable, we can open our hearts to new ideas, new relationships, and new people. Once I began to open up, incredible people entered my life. Sometimes friendships and foundations actually begin to solidify when you are most broken open. As you embrace the broken places, it allows you to grow. Being vulnerable is the first step in this process. Make the commitment. On my last trip to Japan, my mom and I spent a couple of days in Tokyo viewing the cherry blossoms. One day, we met up for lunch with mom's lifelong friends from her college days. In Japan, It's traditional to give one another gifts. They don't have to be anything fabulous. The gifts usually take the form of a small token, like a handkerchief, a teacup, or cookies. My heart was touched as each of Mom's friends gave me a gift. One even made me four of her cherished, homemade Japanese recipes, which I will always remember. As we sat at lunch, I interviewed them about their friendship. How is it possible that Mom lives in California, and over the years, all of you have stayed in touch? They said it was a lot of work, and that it took commitment. They had to plan times to speak, and once a year they arranged to see one another. Keeping a friendship alive over the years is work, but it's definitely worth it. Embrace community. Community makes a positive impact and a lasting imprint on the human heart. Having a strong and centered community around you, whether in church, book club, cooking class, yoga, art or meditation class, healing group, cycling club, recreational sport, whatever it may be, is important to your well-being. Building a strong sense of community improves your motivation, health, and happiness. Karen Hall, PhD, explains that when you're part of a close-knit community, you're more cognizant of the fact that all people struggle and go through difficult times. Thus, there is comfort in knowing that you are not alone. Furthermore, researchers have found that people are happier when they are around others as opposed to being alone. Social support is a critical component of mental health and healthy aging. Shizuko is my grandmother's best friend and neighbor for over 65 years. Throughout their lives, she and my grandmother relied on each other for friendship, laughter, loyalty, and company. Shizuko's parents taught her, "Be good to your neighbor," and she was. Shizuko adored my bachan and cherished their time together. I had the honor to speak with Shizuko while I was visiting Beppu just after my grandmother passed away. She shared with me the newfound appreciation she had for the friends in her life. Shizuko told me, "I was a very selfish person up until my 80s. She never told her friends how much they meant to her and never expressed her gratitude for having them in her life. When Shizuko was in her 80s, many of her friends moved or passed away, and she began to feel alone. She was left with nobody. Once they were gone, she realized how much they truly mattered to her. It wasn't until then that I realized being selfish wasn't the way I should be living my life," she said. "You can't live alone. You've got to thank your friends." So at age 80, Shizuko decided to make a change. She began to be more vulnerable. She opened up to those around her. She communicated more honestly. And she gave her heart fully. She has a regular gratitude practice, and you can feel it in her warm and attentive presence. While in Beppu, I would see her at the market every day, where she would grab me by the hand and give me the warmest greeting. She always greeted others with a huge smile and was all too happy to stop and chat, even though many of her lifelong friends, my grandmother included, are no longer around. Shizuko continued to make new connections rather than keeping to herself. Shizuko taught me the importance of valuing and appreciating friendships, new and old. Open up to them. Make time for them. Don't wait to tell the people you care about that you love them and are grateful for their presence. Start living with an open heart now. We only have so much time. Show, don't tell. Just as Kaizen teaches us to practice continuous improvement, you can apply the same idea to relationships, focusing much of your time on continuous support. That's what the circle is all about. Just as my friends and family are always there for me, I try hard to always be there for them. Of course, actions are the true measure of the friendship you offer to others. If you want to be a good friend to someone, show them. For example, many of us are quick to connect over text or email. We don't even talk to our friends anymore. Scheduling time to connect over coffee or a meal with someone shows them that they are valuable to you. Spending time with and taking time for the people in your life matters. It is one of the ways you can express their value in your life. To love other people is to feel loved. And that, my love, is the truth. Here are some other ways to practice friendship in action. Be thoughtful. Holidays and obvious occasions are great times to show people you love and care. But when you text someone out of the blue to tell them that you love them, that can feel more meaningful. Likewise, there is no expiration date on giving thanks. If you really enjoy something a friend gave you 3 years ago, tell them how much you still love it. If an old memory pops into your head, let them know you thought of them. I'll get messages every week from someone who made my recipes, and it truly makes my day. Everyone loves to know they are appreciated, no matter the day. Be present. Give others your attention. Are you on your phone the entire time you're at dinner? Seriously, put your phone away. Like, all the way away. Are you listening intently to your friend's story? Human connection depends on attention. Sincerely ask people how they are and actually listen to their response. Share yourself. It's okay to share your true emotion. To show your vulnerable parts, to be real. Witnessing the deep parts of others brings people comfort, because it is only then that we see we are not alone. Don't be afraid of what others think, or feel that you have to put on a brave face. That may be true in certain circumstances, but when you are with your Yuimaru, it's okay to fearlessly share what's really going on. Offer support. Use your talents to help a friend, even if it's just lending an ear. If you have a service you can offer, give it freely and happily to those who can benefit. The favor will come back around. Don't expect anything in return. Live and give without expectation. For those you truly love, there will be a natural exchange. But never offer your support because you're trying to get credit in the favor bank. It's pretty obvious when somebody is coming after you needing something in return. Your interactions with friends should be sincere and come from a place of pure good intention without any ulterior motives. Be proactive. Friendship is about offering support even when someone doesn't ask. It's checking in on a friend when you know they're waiting on news, good or bad, or have a big day coming up at work. It can also mean bringing hot soup to a friend who's sick at home, or picking up a few things at the grocery store for a friend with a new baby. It could be writing an encouraging note or email for a friend who has a big interview or presentation coming up. Friendship is defined by actions, and it is also defined by not having to ask for what you need. Your true friends know just what you need and when, and they are happy to offer their support. I know who my true circle of friends is, my Yuimaru, my posse, my squad, because they are the first ones to step up to the plate in tough times. They're the girlfriends who squeeze in a yoga class with me even though their schedule is jam-packed, who come over to hold my hand through a breakup, who sincerely want to come out to toast and celebrate my birthday or a big accomplishment. They are happy for my successes, as I am sincerely, over the moon, happy for theirs. They are the safety net that continues to catch me and to lift me up, higher and higher. When you're being true to yourself, you know that your circle is there around you for the right reasons. The real you. 9. Kansha, gratitude. One of the most important concepts in your wellness practice the one that supports all the others, is the Japanese philosophy known as kansha. At its heart, kansha means cultivating gratitude. This includes gratitude for the gifts you've been given, for this moment, and for everything in this one lifetime. My parents are from two very different cultures and religions, but despite their different upbringings, both are rooted in deep and sincere gratitude. They openly expressed their gratitude for what we had and shared their appreciation with my sister and me. The beginning of their relationship, what would become a lifetime of love, started in a place of peace, the Great Buddha at Kamakura, a coastal city just south of Tokyo. The Japanese have a tradition of telling folktales to their children in order to pass on the beauty and tradition of kansha. There are two that really stand out, Tsuru no Onegaishi, the Grateful Crane, and Kasajiso, Umbrella Statue. Both stories focus on teaching children that if you're a good person who practices gratitude, you'll be rewarded. They also share traditional and deep-rooted values and morals with their little ones through manga, Japanese comics, and Japanese animation. Kawaii, major cuteness. Speaking of animation, Japanese culture is extremely unique in its appreciation for cute things. Just as wabi-sabi teaches us to see beauty in the imperfect, kawaii teaches us to find humor and happiness in cuteness. Kawaii is exemplified in characters like Hello Kitty, Mario and Luigi, Doraemon, Pokemon, Rirakuma, and Emoji are all examples of this. Happiness inspires gratitude, as it is a celebration of living. I urge you to look for the fun and humor around you. In Japanese culture, we appreciate spreading kawaii, which inspires lightness. In Japan, there is a saying, onegaishi, which translates to, always return the favor. My entire life, I watched my mother and father devote much of their free time outside of work to volunteering in our community, and they've kept up with it to this day. My mom volunteers at our local Japanese school, where she helps to raise funds for Japanese cultural education and the preservation of Japanese tradition in our community. Mom also donates to humane animal organizations every year. Every week, my dad volunteers at a charity thrift store, at my former high school, and at the Boys and Girls Club. When I asked him why he chooses to spend so much of his time volunteering, he said, "It's satisfying to help others and to give back to the community. It seems so obvious on the surface, and yet so few of us make the time to actually do it. But giving back is a part of practicing kansha. By giving back, we expand our perspective on what we have and what we can give to others." Here are some ways to actively practice gratitude. Practice patience. Kansha takes practice. You can't always see it clearly, and it can be difficult to feel grateful when the truth is, life is hard sometimes. It wasn't until I became more confident in myself that I started to feel and understand sincere gratitude. I didn't always understand kansha. Part of growing up means letting go of your sense of self-importance, feeling more grace, having more empathy and compassion. Like stones that get washed up on the shore, they've been tossed through so many waves that they become smooth and polished. But it takes a lot of waves before they take on that shape. Be patient. Gratitude grows with time. A smile radiates from the heart. Japanese proverb. Give your gratitude as a handwritten card or a smile. Showing gratitude can be simple. I believe a handwritten thank you card is still one of the greatest joys to open. You can be certain it will make the recipient smile because they know the time and effort that went into that personal note. Little things add up. And when you make others happy, you are making yourself happy. So ditch the pre-made thank you cards and let your own version of kancha shine. As a thank you, I love to visit the Flower District in New York City and select